You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello and welcome to your special delivery of the Cosmic Peter Podcast. Sorry. I'll try again.
It's amazing how a month's recording, the difference in a month's recording, and you just forget everything. You forget how to podcast.
I haven't been recording any podcast stuff either, so I'm a little bit rusty. Okay, I'll try again. Hello and welcome to your special delivery of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. I am Casey from the UK, and with me today is...
Come on, Dan.
Come on, Dan. You can do it. Can Dan hear us? I'm assuming he can't hear us.
He's shaking his head no.
Wow, what a professional podcast we are.
I'm Dan in the UK.
Dan from the UK.
Want me old geezers? I'm Dan from the UK.
That's really good. Is he gone? Is he going to come back?
I think he's wiggling some wires or something. We're going to have to keep this in. Sound is completely gone, he says.
Well, we'll wait for Dan to come and introduce himself. In the meantime, we've also got...
Paul from the UK.
And Sean from Jolly Old Canada.
And today we are going to be diving into Casey's list of children's TV shows from her childhood. So we're looking at sort of the 1990s to the late 2000s. It's never a true podcast recording if there aren't some technical difficulties. So I was born in 93. And some of these shows started way before I was born, and some are still going today. So I've got a little synopsis for each show and the years that they first aired and finished airing, unless they're still airing today. And a couple of theme tunes to throw in as well. Some of them are a bit long, so I might just like try and get to the real juicy bits of the theme tune and then move on to the next. So the first one on my list that I remember watching as a child is Blue Peter.
Yay.
So Blue Peter first aired in 1958, I believe, and is still going today, which is a really long runtime. And it is a long-running British children's television program that features viewer challenges, celebrity interviews, arts and crafts, and various features about real-life people and events. And I remember entering a competition on Blue Peter when I was probably around 8 years old, and I got into loads of trouble with my parents because I kept phoning up all of these TV competitions and like ringing up the phone bill when everyone used landlines, because I really wanted to win a prize. And I did actually get a package sent to me from Blue Peter for winning one of their TV competitions, and I was really nervous when it came through the post because I didn't know I'd won it. But my parents were really happy for me, which I was really shocked about. They were like, congratulations. Yeah. So that's my Blue Peter experience.
What did you get?
It was like a t-shirt, a bouncy ball that was like glow in the dark. And when you bounced it, it also had LED lights in it. Like a couple of activity sticker books. It was like stuff that you could buy from the pound shop today for probably less than a fiver. So
does that mean that
as a child, it was like gold dust?
Does that mean that you have the Blue Peter badge?
I don't have a Blue Peter badge. I do have somewhere a Blue Peter ball, but it's not really the same thing.
Nah, my younger
son. So I'm going to play the.
Go on, play the theme tune. And my younger son has got a Blue Peter badge.
No, you mentioned that.
Yeah, national competition for things to do with green issues and things. So they had to present this thing that this little competition thing that they did. They had to present an idea for sustainable energy and everything. So, I mean, I put it together.
And he won it.
And he won it.
So by proxy, it's actually your badge.
Yeah, sort of mine, yeah.
All right, I'll play the theme tune. I'll try to make it so it's not too loud.
Yeah, you guys are all rocking out to that, and I have no idea what it is.
I was going to say, does anybody remember watching this when they were children?
Of course. Yes, absolutely. Yes. I mean, like I say, it's been going since 58, and I have been watching it. I was watching it from early 70s right the way through into the mid-80s. Yeah, it was fantastic. It was great. We all have our presenters that, you know, they were our presenters at the time, just like everybody has a James Bond. And, it was just an amazing program. Just, you know, It didn't speak down to children or kids. It entertained through a number of ages, you know, like early ages, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, right the way through to sort of late teens. It's an amazing program.
I like the nautical theme tune as well, because just for Sean and any other listeners who haven't seen Blue Peter, it's a ship that is the logo. So the nautical theme tune is quite cool. I'm also a fan of pirates, so you know, the fairy tale kind, not the real kind. Just to also throw that out there. Dan, can you hear us now?
I can indeed, yes. And I came in at the right point. I remember Tracy Island being built for the cost of a couple of egg cartons and a bit of paper mache, and all the mums who couldn't get one in the toy shops had to go and make their own Tracy Island from Thunderbirds. Scaling the Nelson's Column. They did the abseiling and up and down Nelson's Column as a charity thing for the year as well. That was the big one that I always remember.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Nelson's Column when John Noakes actually climbed up it. They had ladders to get to the top to clean the actual, you know, all the bird muck off the top of the statue.
I think they did it as like a reverse. So like they said, he went up, so they came down. It was kind of like a thing. So.
But he went up and they had no ropes. And when they got to the top, of course, there's that lip at the edge. So he had to sort of climb outwards to get back in on a ladder to meet up with all the guys on the top. I mean, John Noakes was a legend. He did all these death-defying feats, you know, for the program. He even went down the Cresta Run, you know, the big toboggan run in Switzerland, and fell out of the actual toboggan and slid down on his backside and burnt all of his backside on the ice.
Gosh.
Hell of a guy.
It sounds like an ingenious way the BBC came up with not having to pay like retainers for all of their presenters. It's like, if we kill them off every 2 or 3 years, no one will notice. It's fine. Oh, yeah, we just got some new presenters each year. That's fine.
Like they didn't jump out of a plane. Back in the times where they didn't tell people don't try this at home. So you've got people like, hey, we should also scale that bridge. That's so scary. So my list today, it's a long list, but it's in chronological order of shows from when they first aired to when they finished airing. So the order that I present them in today, it's not necessarily the order that I watched them in as a child. So some of them will be when I was really young and some of them will be when I was a bit older. I think Blue Peter, as you said, Paul, is one of those that kind of spans across different ages in your childhood. But this next one is definitely one when you're a bit younger. So Postman Pat, which first aired in 1981 and is still airing today, is a stop motion animated series that follows the adventures of Pat Clifton, a postman in the fictional village of Greendale, as he delivers mail and helps his fellow villagers. And I love Postman Pat because my dad is a postman and he doesn't deliver mail. He drives a red Royal Mail van and he actually does the collections. So growing up with my dad as a postman that drove a red postman and postman Pat also having the Royal Mail symbol and driving around in his little red postman was always really funny to me. And I don't think it's stop motion anymore. I do think it is just I don't really know what the term is, but I know it's animated, but it's not stop motion anymore. But yeah, I don't know if anyone else remembers Postman Pat, but I watched it a lot when I was really small.
Is it people or animals?
Well, Postman Pat's a man, so it's not is it anthropomorphic? It's not animals like Peppa Pig. It's Postman Pat as a man. He's got red curly hair, looks a bit like Mick Hucknall with a really long face. And he does have a cat. So there are animals in it, but Postman Pat is a man.
He's black and white cat.
His black and white cat, yeah. So I will play the theme tune here. It's a bit of a long one, so I'll try and get to the good bits.
Postman Pat, Postman Pat, and his black and white cat. Early in the morning, just as day is dawning, he picks up all the post bags in his van. Postman Pat, Postman Pat, Postman Pat, and his black and white cat. All the birds are singing, and the day is just beginning. Pat feels he's a really happy man.
Pretty much it. It's a really for my generation anyway, it's a really distinctive theme song. We did have a different version of it when I was growing up. It's something like Postman Pat, Postman Pat, Postman Pat ran over his cat early in the morning, just as day was dawning. You'd never seen a cat as flat as that. was one of the versions that the kids had changed it to when I was growing up. So yeah, I don't know if anyone else remembers Postman Pat. Probably not Sean, seeing as it's an English Royal Mail postman television show.
Definitely don't remember that. Or maybe I do, and that inspired me to become a postman myself.
Oh,
you're a postman,
somewhere
Sean.
In the back of your brain. I sure am.
That's so cool.
No, it sucks.
Well, my third show is very similar. I think it's actually created by the same people because it is also stop motion, but it's also in the same style as the Postman Pat characters. So Fireman Sam first aired in 1987 and still airs today, again, in a more traditional animation sense in this day than it was when I used to watch it. But it's set in the fictional rural village of Pontypandy. And this show follows Fireman Sam and his colleagues as they protect the village from fires and other dangers. And interestingly enough, my daughter, who's about to turn 3, has Fireman Sam bed sheets on her bed right now. So that's really strange for me because, it's 2024 and I was probably watching this show in 1998.
Wow. It's been around since 1987. So... I'm trying to work out why I know these theme tunes and I know these songs so well when they're way out of my era, but it's probably because of my kids. They would have grown up with the same thing. So, I didn't realize I knew the titles to Postman Pat quite so well. But Fireman Sam, I've only seen a couple of these, but I do. He's a Welshman, isn't he, Sam? I think he's got a Welsh accent.
Yeah, Pontypandy. Yeah, I think you can kind of imagine how a Welsh person would say it. But my next one is Rosie and Jim, which first aired in 1990 and finished airing in 2000, so a decade runtime. And it's a British television show program for children about two ragdolls, Rosie and Jim, who come to life when no one is looking and explore the world around them from their home on a narrowboat. And every time I see a narrowboat now, I always think of Rosie and Jim. They were quite
horrific.
They were, but I think as far as ragdolls go, they were non-threatening. And I do remember Rosie had like red hair, like mad red, sticky out hair, So yeah, Rosie and Jim was just another one that
Is that Rosie or Jim?
Rosie.
I thought Jim was the one with the red hair because Rosie has got a
Oh,
long black
maybe
hair.
he is. Oh, yeah, you are probably right. I do remember that Fireman and Sam and Rosie and Jim. Oh, there they are. Look, Dan's holding
There
them
you go.
up.
Oh, you're
There
kidding.
you go. So
That's the
yeah,
sort
they
of
are
There we
quite
go.
scary in real
You could make
life.
a you could make a film out of them with these are the dolls that come to life and scare the crap out of you and attack you and things.
Jim
Yeah,
is looking into your soul.
they do actually look like they do come to life when no one's looking, but not to explore the world around them. Fireman Sam and Rosie and Jim also have what I think are catchy theme tunes, but I'm not going to play all of them today. The next one is a show that aired between 1993 and 1998, and that was Sooty and Co. But I knew that more as Sooty and Sweep, which was a British puppet show that features the adventures of Sooty, a yellow bear with magical powers, his friends Sweep and Sue, and their misadventures running a junk shop. Fun. And my granddad used to race greyhounds, and sometimes we would go to the races with him until one dog died on the track one day, and I never went again because it was just so traumatizing. But he had two black greyhounds that were called Sooty and Sweep that I used to spend so much time with in their big kennels. And I think the reason I enjoyed watching that show so much was just because my granddad had two dogs that were called Sooty and Sweep. And then the next one is Come Outside, which aired between 93 and 97, a children's educational series where Auntie Mabel and her dog Pippin explore and discover how everyday items are made or where they come from. And Auntie Mabel, she is from a really popular British comedy series called Open All Hours. And I didn't realize until I was much older, and I would watch Open All Hours and think, oh, that's that lady from the polka dot helicopter where she flies around with her dog, and the dog wears the little glasses on his, looks like a little steampunk character. He wears the little glasses, and she has the hood down on the helicopter, and it's polka dot. And then every time in each show, Pippin would do a poo somewhere where you shouldn't have dog poo, and she'd go, oh, Pippin. And it would be a fake dog poo, and it would be like the dog was playing a prank on her. So that was a really endearing kids' TV show that I used to watch.
That would be so much fun though if like it got to the last episode and you went, oh, Pippin went to pick it up and it was real. Oh, Pippin.
I don't know how many of these you've seen, but you'll have to jump in and tell me if you have, because
I've seen
I'm
this
just
as
going to
well.
keep going.
My kids used to watch this religiously. Yeah, they loved it, and they still talk about it now. But
Come
Linda Barron, I
Outside,
think.
legendary.
I think Linda Barron passed away recently as well.
Oh,
I think.
really?
I think. I'll better check that before we go any further.
Well, the next one is a show that aired between 1991 and 2002. And I'm actually surprised it ran this long because I remember watching the same few episodes on repeat or like reruns. But Brum is a children's series about a small radio-controlled vintage car that goes on adventures in the big town, encountering various escapades along the way.
It's not a radio control car, it's real. It's a Brum was a real car, his little car used to drive around saving people.
Well, that's just the way it's described in the synopsis that I found, Paul.
Well, you've just blown my kid's childhood now.
He had like those kind of eyes that looked left to right that remind me a little bit of like Gizmo from the Gremlins.
My father-in-law made a full size, the full size, a proper sized Brum, a Brum sized Brum, with a car battery as a motor, and actually had gears, and it was a washing
Oh.
machine motor on the back. Yeah, the kids used to drive it, but just as they got too big for it, he finished it. It's just it was so
No
sort of never quite
way.
complete.
Did he sell it or anything?
I think. Either gave it away or sold it. Yeah, unless he's.
Oh my gosh. Do you have any pictures?
Ooh, I might have. I'll ask him tomorrow.
Yeah, I would love to see a picture of that. That
He's
sounds
still got
like
it.
a really cool project.
Yeah.
Well, my next one is a show that only ran in 1992, but I remember it so well. They must have just played these episodes over and over on the telly. But Funny Bones was a series based on the books by Janet and Alan Ulberg, featuring a family of skeletons who have amusing nocturnal adventures. So I'm going to play you the theme tune, and I absolutely loved this show.
This is how the story begins. In a dark, dark town, there was a dark, dark street. In the dark, dark street, there was a dark, dark house. In the dark, dark house, there were dark, dark stairs. Down the dark, dark stairs, there was a dark, dark cellar. And in the dark, dark cellar, some skeletons lived. There was a big skeleton, a little skeleton, and a dog skeleton. Woof!
Dog skeleton. That's worse. Right? Human skeletons you can do, but dog skeletons, ooh, that's weird.
Well, that makes me think of A Nightmare Before Christmas as well, with the little dog ghost and with his little reindeer nose. But I don't know if anyone ever watched Funny Bones. I can see the outline, like the black background with the family of skeletons standing in the front. I remember it so well, and it's like there were hardly any episodes at all. So that must have been probably around the time that I was first watching TV or really remembering things from my early childhood. The next one is The Moomins, which ran in the 1990s, based on the books by Tove Jansson. This series follows the adventures of Moomin Troll and his family in the peaceful Moomin Valley.
Moomin Papa, Moomin Mama.
I had really massive eyes when I was born, and I had big eyes like until I grew into like adult size. My eyes always looked a little bit too big for my face, so I got called a Moomin quite a lot. And maybe that's why I enjoyed the Moomins. I don't know, but this is the Moomins theme tune.
Here they are for one and all. The Moomins are about to call. Come on and sit down here with me. They're here for you on your TV. They are the Moomins. They are the Moomins. So come with me, give me your hand. I'll take you up to Moomin Land. You can fly just like a bird and sing the best song ever heard. There with the Moomins.
So again, another quite catchy theme tune. I don't know how much of it anyone else remembers.
I can remember the movements. They go right back into the 70s, maybe even earlier than that. Certainly the books were around before that. But yeah, I can remember the movements. I remember reading the comics with movements in them.
I got nothing.
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Sean. I'm hoping that there's going to be some more international shows
This is
in
quite
the
funny because
second part.
what's happening is that it's come round full circle for me. So when I did mine, nobody knew other than the ones that are still going now. Nobody knew who they were. And then as we moved through into Sean, obviously, there was some crossover there, and all three of us, with Casey not quite getting some of the Canadian references and things. But we sort of crossed over a bit there. Then we went into Dan's, and Dan had a lot of stuff that I didn't. It was just about out of my range. There was some, I was just getting a bit too old for it then. But now Casey's come in and has got all the stuff that my kids used to watch. So now I'm back into it again. I know some of these. I didn't think I was
That's
going to
why
know
it's
any of
really
these.
strange to see like updated animated versions of Fireman Sam and Postman Pat and Scooby-Doo, because they are the shows that I watched as a kid, and now they're coming out with all of these, I would say, like remastered versions of all different kinds of kids shows, like Tom and Jerry, like it's like strangely clean and new. And anyway, before I get on that soapbox, my next one is a show from 1996 up till present day. Had no idea this was still an ongoing show. It's called Arthur, an animated series that follows Arthur Reed, an aardvark in the third grade, as he navigates school, family, and friends. So, Sean, you're nodding. Is this one that you recognize?
Yeah, I know about this one.
That's
Yay.
it now. My job's done for the whole day. Like, I don't need to worry about anything else. I'm so glad that there's at least one on this list. Arthur is one that I remember quite well. I did had no idea that it was still going today.
I know of it, but yeah, I haven't I didn't know it was still going there.
So my next one is a show that's quite similar, I think, and I it must be because they would be on the television at around the same time. But 1996 to 2004 was a show called Hey Arnold, an animated series that centers around Arnold, not Arthur, a kid, not an aardvark, with a football-shaped head who lives with his grandparents in a city boarding house, navigating life's challenges, quite like Arthur. But Hey Arnold's football head used to make me laugh so much because he'd have, like, on his.
When you say
Is
football, you're talking American football. I thought you were actually
it's like
talking soccer,
rugby. It's a
but
rugby ball. Here the synopsis is like, with a football shaped head, but it's like a rugby ball, and he has a bit of blonde hair on one side and a bit of blonde hair on the other side, and this tiny little flat cap hat that he wears on his, in between his two bits of hair, and I can see it so vividly in my head. And he had a school bully. I can't remember what her name is. I want to say Dee Dee, but that's Dexter's Laboratory.
Elga.
And there's something like, people are going to be shouting this as they listen. But Hey Arnold had a girl, blonde girl, that would pick on him in school, but that's secretly because she was super in love with him. So
Is
it's
it,
teaching you all about how if people are mean to you in school, it's probably because they like you.
it was that Helga at all? Pink. You used to wear pink.
Pink with blonde hair,
Yeah.
Helga. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Helga G. Pataki. That's a full name.
Okay, so my next one on my list is a show that ran from 97 to 2001, which is not true because I know that it's actually restarted in that gap, which is the Teletubbies. So I used to watch the Teletubbies. I remember sitting with my mum and watching the sun with the little baby face laughing inside of it come up over the horizon. And the male narrator would introduce the Teletubbies, and which was a British series targeted at preschool viewers, featuring four colourful characters known as Teletubbies in a whimsical land. So you had Tinky Winky, Dipsy, Lala, and Po, and they all had different shapes sticking out of their little heads. It was really cool watching it as a kid. It's a bit strange watching it as an adult now and realizing that there were people inside those costumes that were having to like jump around for hours on end on these false little fake hills that just looked so beautiful and picturesque when I was a child. And now you can obviously tell it's a set. And since then, the Teletubbies has restarted, and there's like smaller Teletubbies. They're called like Teletubbies or Teeny Tubs or something like that. And they're like smaller versions of these Teletubbies, and they're little animated tiny baby versions. And my kids watched that for a little while, but it didn't stick for too long. So
What's
that's the Teletubbies.
frightening is, I was going to say that the baby that was in the sun, it actually played the face in the sun, had a baby recently,
Yeah,
and
she did.
I've just looked it up, and that baby, if I'm reading this correctly, is now seven.
Wow. Time goes fast.
Wow.
Time goes fast. You sound like a masochist, Paul. Are you trying to freak yourself out?
Yes. I do it every day.
That's the Teletubbies might say.
Oh, no, it's bedtime. I haven't had my existential crisis. I'll just lay in bed awake all night thinking about my mortality.
I'll do that as well. Am I going to wake up in the morning?
Grab yourself some tubby toast. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Ooh. Tubby toast. So we do tubby toast at home. Sometimes if my kids like being super fussy, we'll jazz breakfast up and we'll have like tubby toast and things like that. So it does work.
Nice.
My next one is Bernard's Watch, which aired between 97 and 2005, about a children's series about a young boy, Bernard, who can stop time with a magical pocket watch, which he uses to fix problems and help others. So I do remember bringing up Bernard's Watch when, Paul, you were talking about the Queen's Nose, which is kind of similar in a way, like a girl protagonist and a boy protagonist. But I remember saying that I wished as a kid that I had Bernard's watch so that I could just stop time and like go back to bed for as long as I wanted. Have a nap, whatever you want. Like if you had Bernard's watch, imagine how much napping you could do. If you could just stop time, go to bed for as long as you wanted, and then restart time and carry on. Some people are like, you could rob banks or you could do anything you want. I just want to go to bed. That's all I want.
But the trouble with that is, I mean, as a kid, yes, absolutely. You want to do that. You can stop time and you could run down to the local, your local football team and kick a ball around the players that are all stood still and score a goal. And you could, you know, like you say, rob a bank, or you could take a car and drive it around a racetrack or something. All these things you could do. And then you could start time again, and then off you go. And then somebody would say to you, it's Monday. You say, what do you mean it's still Monday? It should be the end of the week by now. It should be Friday by now. I've been doing this, and I've done all of this, but it's still Monday. So that's where the adult in you comes out and thinks, yeah, but you'd be so bored, wouldn't you? At the end of the day, you've done everything, and it's still only Monday.
Have we come back to your existential crisis? This is great. Yeah, it just keeps coming back.
Am I overthinking these programs?
Well, the theme of the week is Paul's living in permanent crises.
Well, he doesn't have to live in a permanent crisis if he listens to this promo for another podcast right here on the ESO Network.
Oh, Shmoov Lab Butter.
That's better every week.
This is Drew Leiter from the Earth Station DCU Podcast, inviting you to join us every week for DC news, comic reviews, and more. This summer, we'll be checking out the Netflix series Dead Boy Detectives and the last season of Sweet Tooth. We will also be covering the comic event Absolute Power, as well as the animated Crisis on Infinite Earths event. Don't get left behind. Subscribe to the Earth Station DCU Podcast today.
I thought it was hilarious. I listened to your last week, Sean, and you said, and here's a promo for the show on the ESO Network. And then you come back and you and Leah are going, well, wasn't that a great promo? Oh, yes, I think we should go back and listen to all of those episodes. It was the Epsilon 3. You've been in all of those episodes.
I didn't know what I was going to be playing, though.
Yeah, oh, so the next one is a show that aired between 95 and 98. I have the theme tune for this one, and when I play it, it still scares me, and it's not scary. It's quite jazzy, actually. But Goosebumps, which was based on R.L. Stine's horror book series, is a show that features different scary stories that often involve children facing bizarre and alarming events. So I would come home from school, and Goosebumps would be on the telly soon after, and it was quite scary to watch it as a child. And this is the theme tune that still freaks me out. It's still scary. Like, I associate that with, like, fog coming down the stairs and shadows across the wall and all sorts of weird plants that start to take over the house. It was a creepy show when I was a kid.
I couldn't get into the beat. So what was that, Sean?
Yeah.
My brother watched it. So I saw some of it in background, but never paid attention to it. Just like the next few coming up here, I think.
Well, honorary shout out to Sean's brother, who is probably equally as scared of that theme song as every other kid that watched it at the age I watched it. My next one is Recess, which aired between 97 to 2001, which was an animated series that portrays the lives of six elementary school students during their recess period, dealing with their own society and rules. So it's super American. I loved Recess. I loved how the hierarchy of the little school year that they had, I could perfectly kind of transfer that over to what it felt like for me being in school. You know, you had different cliques and you had people that were like the kings and queens of the schoolyard, and you had the misfits, which was kind of the group that the show Recess followed. But I loved Recess. I don't know if you had that over in Canada, Sean.
Couldn't tell you. Doesn't sound familiar.
There is some of these shows are a bit later. So the next one, which everyone has most likely heard of, was Scooby-Doo, which started airing in 1969 and still airs today. A long-standing animated franchise featuring a group of teenagers and their dog, Scooby-Doo, who solve mysteries involving supposedly supernatural creatures. And I love how the synopsis says supposedly in there, because they crack the case every time. And I especially loved watching the live action movies of Scooby-Doo. They were so well cast and they were really enjoyable to watch. And sometimes I will go back and watch them even as an adult.
The guy who plays Shaggy in the live action shows is a really, really good actor. And I've forgotten his name for the moment. But I've seen him in Bosch and a few other programs. Really, really good. Really
like
him.
Yeah, he did pop up in Bosch for a couple of episodes. Yeah. I actually just finished rewatching House as well, and he showed up in an episode of House. Mm.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
So he does get about, and he
Matthew Lillard. Yes, Matthew Lillard.
Perfectly cast as Shaggy. The whole cast, I thought, in the live action films was really well cast. Mm. And Freddie Prinze Jr. and Michelle Geller got married after filming, and they're still together today, which is not very
that's not common.
Not common in the world of Hollywood, especially because both of them were so high profiled at the time that they got together as well. But yes, moving on. 1991 to 2004, an animated series about the everyday adventures of a group of toddlers exploring the world from their pint-sized and wildly imaginative perspective is The Rugrats. So I am noticing a theme here. It's like somebody made a joke about Disney films need a new type of character to focus on, or a new type of storyline. So they're like, oh, let's do fishes under the ocean, and let's do our emotions and talk about how our emotions can, and let's give the emotions a storyline, and let's talk about an old man with a bunch of balloons. And it's reading these descriptions here, it's like an animated series about blank, and it follows their adventures. It's a theme that I'm noticing here. But here's the Rugrats theme tune. Instantly recognizable to anybody that watched it around the time I did. I think that they made some movies, they made some video games. I've got a couple of Rugrats video games. I think one might be on the 64, or the PS1. But they made a couple of Rugrats video games as well. It was hugely popular when I was a kid. Does anybody else remember the Rugrats?
Oh yeah, my youngest brother was obsessed.
He was?
Oh yes, big time.
So how much older are you than your younger brother?
He was born in 86. I was born in 76.
Okay. So a 10-year gap means mm-hmm. that you would definitely be able to remember the shows that he enjoyed that he probably doesn't remember that much. Sounds as an adult.
Yeah, yeah, most likely.
I loved the Rugrats. And it's funny when you see people post memes about the Rugrats today and how like some of the parents were in their 30s, but they looked dead old to you when you were a kid. And then you realize, like, oh my gosh, that's me now. So the next one I've got is from 96 to 2000. A live-action sitcom following the hijinks of two best friends, Keenan and Kel, as they get themselves into various predicaments and schemes. I loved watching Keenan and Kel when I was growing up. There was like this rumor that went around, and I think me and Lee did look it up one night and realized it wasn't true, but like there was a rumor that Keenan or Kel committed suicide or completed suicide at one point, but one of them is in SNL, and I think that the other one still does do acting work. So somebody please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that that was just some strange rumor that somebody made up when I was a kid.
They're making
there's a few rumors like
Good Burger
that.
Two. There's Good Burger Two that's coming out or has come out either this year or next year. Which is obviously their kind of movie. They're taking the same characters, different names, different solutions. But yeah, orange soda. Who doesn't love orange soda? Fantastic. Keenan and Kel.
Exactly. I loved watching Keenan and Kel. I don't know why. Maybe I just really enjoyed the kind of like the Americanism of it and how exaggerated the characters were. But also, it just always looked so sunny and warm and fun where they were. And it's not something that we typically experience over here too much, especially at the moment, because the weather has no clue what it wants to do other than make the grass in my garden grow 6 foot every day, which makes me really sound like an old person. But anyway, my next one, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, aired between 96 to 2003, a sitcom about Sabrina Spellman, a teenager who learns on her 16th birthday that she has magical powers. So I watched Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I watched the animated series called Sabrina. And then I also watched the recent Netflix series, updated version of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which was vastly different to the show I remember watching as a child. I think the Sabrina original show had did it have a laughter track?
I think so.
Yeah. It?
I believe so.
Yeah, the Netflix show was not like that at all. So that's Sabrina. Most people listening have probably heard of that very famous show. The next one, I don't know if any of you will remember this, but 2002 to 2007 was a show called Basil Brush, a revival of the classic British series featuring the mischievous fox Basil Brush and his adventurous and humorous antics. So, Paul, did you mention this in your video, in your recording?
I might have done, but certainly Basil Brush, I saw him live in Scarborough one year, like in the mid-70s. Fantastic, absolutely fantastic. But yeah, we were big fans. My sister has a stuffed toy of Basil Brush, the big tail on him that he keeps wagging and all that. So yeah, I used to love it. He's still good now because he is very very close to the edge of being kids entertainer, but leaning into adult jokes. There's double entendres flying left, right, and center.
Yeah,
and when he gets on the adult programs when there's no kids about, oh, he's very close to the wind.
The next one is Tracy Beaker from 2002 to 2005 and then 2012 to the present. They recently revamped it with the original cast, which is interesting because Tracy Beaker's the like around the same age as me. And when I used to watch Tracy Beaker as a child, I was maybe like 12 years old. Based on the books by Jacqueline Wilson, this series follows the life of Tracy Beaker and other children in a care home known as the Dumping Ground. It was a show that I watched probably towards the end of me watching kids' TV and before I moved more into video games and watching the VHS tape collection that my dad had, where he'd be like, just pick what you want and go and watch it. And I'd be watching like films that were way above the age that I was and just being terrified of everything in life because I'd watch like The Hollow Man, which no kid should ever watch. So Tracy Beaker, I have fond memories. Also, my name sounds quite similar to Tracy Beaker, so I would get called that a lot when I was in school.
You've got some very unimaginative school friends.
Yeah, I know. Also, I had a friend that had the last name Butcher, so they'd be like, oh, the Butcher, the Baker, and the Candlestick Maker, and they thought that was really funny too, so...
Yeah, I had to wait until 2005 before my thoughts of Danny Harmer became legal. yeah, it was. She was a really good actress and a really good child actress, but she hasn't made it so much as an adult actress as far as I'm aware.
No, but she's back now in the role that she's most famous for, I guess. So that's quite interesting.
That's right. Yeah.
That it's found a way to still be entertaining and relevant today, even with the same cast.
Yeah.
So the next one, 1999 to 2006, My Parents Are Aliens, a sitcom about three siblings who are fostered by aliens trying to understand the human world. It was fun. It was carefree. There were not too many deep and meaningful messages about how you need to love each other and respect each other. It was just kind of a bit of nonsense, which I enjoyed. And then there was the X-Men animated series between 92 and 97, an animated series based on the Marvel comics and the superheroes of the same name, focusing on their struggles against prejudice and their battles against villainous mutants. And this is the X-Men theme tune, which is just awesome. I loved that show when I was a kid. It was so cool. The colors were so bright and the opening theme tune would come on. And the camera would be panning around. You'd have a bright yellow Wolverine and you'd have Jean Grey with her big red hair and Storm would be up in the sky changing all of the weather. It was just really cool. And they had dark storylines in the X-Men TV show, especially when they started coming up against what were those like horde of robots called that started destroying them and they had to go into hiding?
The Sentinels?
Yes. Yeah, really dark stuff. And I really enjoyed that as a kid, just watching some of the darker stuff. And I just got really excited every time I heard that theme tune. I thought it was great. And I didn't realize how much of an impact the Marvel Universe would have on entertainment. Growing up, I have a ton of X-Men and Marvel comic books on my bookshelf downstairs, which is just really cool. So I really liked that X-Men show. The next is The Wild Thornberrys, 98 to 2004, an animated series about Eliza Thornberry, who travels the world with her family making wildlife documentaries and has the power to talk with animals. That was a really cool show. Everybody loves Nigel Thornberry. And here's somebody, he's still memed. People make memes of Nigel Thornberry all the time. I don't know if everybody would understand what the memes mean and how much reach that show had, but I really enjoyed it.
It's Tim Curry, and then, how could you not?
Yeah, it's so good. The best. Just, I mean, anything that Tim Curry touches is just, and he would probably say the same thing, like gold. So on a Saturday morning, I would wake up and we would watch SMTV Live, which aired between 98 to 2003, a Saturday morning live children's television program, which featured a mix of comedy sketches, cartoons, and interviews with Ant and Dec and Kat Deeley. I absolutely loved SMTV. They just did silly things like Wonky Donkey and all sorts of popular things, just pouring goo on each other. And then after that, we would watch Robot Wars, which I think is later on in my list. And then after that, we would watch WWE, and it would be like whatever the newest drama is in the wrestling world. So that was my Saturday mornings for like maybe 2 years in the house growing up. And me and my dad would watch those three things religiously in the same order. And then later on, it started being Takeshi's Castle as well, because Takeshi's Castle became a thing. That was SMTV. I don't know if anyone else remembers that.
I'm aware of it. Yeah, is it? I cannot stand. Ant and Dec. Yeah, I mean Kat Deeley. Yeah, fine. But Ant and Dec, no. I mean, I've not liked anything they've done. They're not my generation. I think that's a problem. They're just sort of anarchic and have an audience, should they say? But yeah, they've obviously done well for themselves. I mean, you know, they're obviously very good entertainers.
Well, two people that I didn't include on this list that I remember from my childhood is Dick and Dom, and they were I think they were more chaotic than Ant and Dec were. Mm. Maybe that's what you had to do. You had to up the ante. But yeah, Dick and Dom, I remember from my childhood.
Bogies.
Yeah, but they're bogies on my list.
Bogies.
Sean's probably like, what on earth is going on?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Number
every single one of our listeners do the same thing.
But I tell you what I'll do. I'll go check on the kids for a second while somebody explains to Sean and the listeners what on earth it is that you childish men are doing right now.
So with Dick and Dom, they used to have a challenge that they would be somewhere in public and you had to shout or say bogeys loud enough that people could hear it, but you know, but at the same time, not that it would, you know, to try and sort of disrupt things. But so you'd see them in the middle of a library and then suddenly go, bogeys, you know, everybody look around and go, what the hell is that? Bogeys. Yes.
And then great, progressively louder and louder as they went along as well. The stuffier the better, wherever they could be the most disruptive.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
It was the sort of thing that, you know, the kids like to get up to, the sort of things that you would do at school, that, you know, and you're messing around. If you're in a class and then somebody might make a farting noise or you know, somebody would, like you say, shout bogeys or some sort of rude word that you think was rude but is actually really, you know, so poor, you know, but not enough to get you thrown out of the class, but enough to get you sort of, you know, spoken to or whatever. And then of course you were the coolest kid in the room then. So yeah, that's that's all the stuff it used to be on those programs. Throwing guns over each other.
The best. But there was, I'm trying to think some of the other sketches they used to do. But it wasn't the show that I actually ended up watching, but it was on the TV at the same time. And I don't know why, because there was no one I knew who would have been like the right age. So I don't know why it was on TV, but hey, there we go.
Yeah. Let's stick with that excuse, Dan.
Yeah, I'll stick with that. Yeah, it's in the background. After Teletubbies.
It was, the TV was already on when I came in.
Fine. I don't know who's watching this.
Have we got that bogeys out of our system now?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
We'll
just drop it in throughout the show.
Yes.
So bogies. 1999 till the present day, an animated series about the underwater adventures of SpongeBob SquarePants and his various friends in the fictional underwater city of Bikini Bottom. When I was a kid, I swear there were about 6 episodes of SpongeBob, and I could cite them word for word. Every time I watched an episode, I knew them off by heart. I was ecstatic when I started watching Pirates of the Caribbean and they started talking about Davy Jones and Davy Jones's locker, because I was thinking, Davy Jones's locker from SpongeBob SquarePants. So here's the theme tune to SpongeBob, which I'm sure most people know.
Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
I can't hear you!
Aye, aye, Captain!
Oh! Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Be something you wish.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Then drop on the deck and flop like a fish.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Ready? SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, Dan nice. Was loving that then.
Ah. Oh. I had to learn that song. We used to sing it as like the little intro when I did the kids' parties as dressed as a pirate. So that was just the way of getting them started and hyped up.
I absolutely love SpongeBob. I think the humor is great. I think that there are double entendres and the voice actors are amazing. I love anything that Clancy Brown is in. He was recently doing a voice in the Invincible Amazon Prime animated series, and he's just amazing. In anything he does, like I just really like Clancy Brown. He's a really versatile actor, and he voices Mr. Krabs, who is one of the most recognizable archetypes in human society that we can find in SpongeBob, and Squidward as well. I mean, I think there's a bit of Squidward in all of us, where you just want to be left alone and you don't want to be at work and you just want to be in bed or in the bath or just doing what you want to do without being annoyed by everyone around you. So yeah, that's SpongeBob. Dan, you've talked about SpongeBob. Does anyone else have a thing for SpongeBob?
Yeah, I can't stand it.
I've seen a lot of it. It's too much.
I have never seen a single frame of SpongeBob SquarePants. I have seen pictures of him. I know what he's about as a crab, and that's about it. Having said that, you've just blown my mind by saying there's loads of double entendres in it and loads of maybe adult humor in it. And all I could see on Casey's list was when it said the mythical city of Bikini Bottom. Are you kidding me?
Bikini Bottom. That's what it's called. Yeah. The humor's great in SpongeBob. The humor's great.
I'm gonna have to go and watch this.
When you look at the genres of the songs, it's listed in the classical genre. So there is also that. Yeah, SpongeBob, it's not for everyone. I think SpongeBob as a character is actually really annoying. It's everybody around him. That's like Sandy Cheeks. I think Sandy's really funny, like dead quirky. It's like a squirrel that lives underwater but has to wear a helmet so that she, you know, doesn't get water in.
And I think we've just sold Paul.
Oh, God.
On Sandy Cheeks. That's all he needs.
Sandy Cheeks. And they're doing a Western. And they're doing a Western inside Sandy's, like, dome. And Patrick Starr is playing the character of Dirty Dan. They just put on, I don't know, it just really makes me laugh. Anyway, that's SpongeBob. I'm going to move on
so good.
Before I just keep going on and on. So 1986 to 2006, Pingu, a swish British stop-motion claymation about Pingu, a cheeky young penguin who often finds himself in tricky and comical situations in his Antarctic community. So Pingu lives in his igloo and he's so naughty. And my kids love watching Pingu because they think Pingu's really funny.
It's amazing.
Because he just is getting up to no good all the time.
I didn't discover him until university.
And I was like, I was obsessed after I found it. I had to tape all the episodes that I could find.
So good. I should have put the theme tune in for this. It's very good. Apart from in one episode, Pingu's dad that was spanking Pingu for being naughty, and my 4-year-old said, "Mummy, parents don't hit kids. Kids go on the naughty step." And I said, "You're quite right." So daddy penguin was getting told off by my 4-year-old son in that episode. But it first aired in 1986, and times have changed, so I've heard. So my next one is 97 to the present day. Again, totally different animation style. A Japanese anime series centered around the adventures of Ash Ketchum, a Pokemon trainer, as he travels around through various regions with his friends to become the ultimate Pokemon master. And here's the theme tune to Pokemon, if you haven't heard it already.
I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. Them is my real test. To train them is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide. Each Pokemon to understand the power.
It's the hardest theme tune not to belt out and sing along to. It absolutely slaps. It's so good. Oats. Like, it has no business being that good.
No.
But yeah, I loved Pokemon. I still love Pokemon. I occasionally will rewatch the, you know, Indigo League and the episodes with the first original 100 to 200 Pokemon. I have played Pokemon video games, as I have done, actually played SpongeBob video games as well, which I forgot to mention. They did make a few of them. But yeah, Pokemon, my kids have Pokemon cards. My kids have Pokemon teddies. It's just really one of those shows that is timeless, I think. It's great. Although I never really understood how to play Pokemon with the cards. I don't know if anyone else ever cracked that.
Nope, I don't know nothing about it.
I feel like young, not young, but like out of trend. I don't feel trendy. So my next one is a 1990s animated show called Spider in the Bath. It was an animated short series featuring a mischievous spider and the comedic events that happen around its life in a domestic setting. So it was like pencil drawn, animated, like a white bathtub with a black spider. And he'd just get into trouble all of the time. And I think it was just like to help kids not be so scared of spiders. But it was kind of like, you know, like how Roald Dahl drawings would just be kind of like pencil scratching drawings. And the theme tune was like spider in the bath, spider in the bath, incy wincy teeny weeny spider in the bath. And it's one of the ones that I remember watching as a really young kid. So I just wanted to throw that one in there. And then 98 to 2004 and 2016 to 2018 was Robot Wars, a competition show in which teams of amateur and professional roboteers make robots to fight each other in tournaments. I loved Robot Wars. I thought it was great. Craig Charles, always a great narrator. And I remember one episode particularly where Hypnodisc, my favorite robot, got disqualified from the fight because they'd use a part in their robot that they hadn't disclosed. So they were disqualified. And in that same episode, Matilda, one of the house bots, actually got defeated and died. And they had like an RIP section for the house bot at the end of the show. It was a wild session. Like, no, me and my dad were in silence. Dan's nodding along. Do you remember that?
Yeah, oh god, yeah. When all the robots would die at the end, everyone got really upset. There was because I'm from originally I grew up in Dartford, where there was a technology college, so they actually entered some of their bots in the Robot Wars, and they were just broken people if you saw them in the streets of Dartford like the next week after they'd been filming, because if their robot had been torn to shreds, they'd spent 8 months building, planning, buying all the parts, and it was just laying in pieces on some BBC studio
and
floor.
The house bots were tanks, so they would just rip the bots vicious. To shreds and just throw them into the traps in the ground. Yeah,
and there was always that There was always that kid who said he knew how to build the perfect bot, and he was like the most useless kid who couldn't do anything in like wood class, electronics, anything, no DT whatsoever. Such a great show.
Well, I'll just quickly run through the rest of mine. I won't go into too much detail. Well, my next one, 1990 to 1995, and then 2002 to 2019, apparently. I don't remember those later ones.
Me neither.
A British sitcom series starring Rowan Atkinson as Mr. Bean, whose bumbling nature leads to various escapades. I loved watching Mr. Bean. I loved the animated series as well, because in Mr. Bean, he has I can't remember what you call it. What's the like? He's like a silent actor. There's a word for it. Yeah, a mime artist. So there's no dialogue in Mr. Bean, really. Not from him, anyway. And there's no dialogue in the animated series either. And I don't know. He's just so... he's just so encapsulating, Rowan Atkinson. He's absolutely incredibly versatile. So fun to watch. And there's a couple of episodes of Mr. Bean that are just so... memorable for me. The one that I think is most memorable is when he's trying to take his pants off on the beach, and he's doing everything that he can. There's one other person on the beach, one other man sitting in a sun chair, and he's doing everything that he can to get his underwear off under his shorts, and he spends like the whole episode getting his pants off, and then at the end of it, the man in the sun chair stands up with his white stick and you find out he's blind.
Yes,
I absolutely howl at that episode every time. It's so good.
I didn't know there was an animated series.
Yes, there's an anime, and he's got his teddy. His teddy's in the animated series. And they can stretch reality a little bit more because it is animated. So there are a few really precarious situations that Mr. Bean gets himself in the animated series, because you have that artistic license. So yeah, it's really fun. I also just love Rowan Atkinson in Johnny English. I think Johnny English is a perfect satire of British espionage films that we have. Just really love that. My next one is Bananas in Pyjamas, 92 to 2001. This is, again, one of the earlier ones that I can remember. An Australian children's television show about two anthropomorphic bananas named B1 and B2. And their adventures in Cuddles Avenue with their friends. So here is the theme tune.
Bananas in pyjamas.
Really memorable for me. It's genred as rock music. I'm just gonna imagine you're in a haunted house and you've got no phone signal and you don't know how to get out of the building, and you've been split up from all of your friends and you're really scared, and all of a sudden pretty creepy to listen to it now as an adult. I loved Bananas in Pyjamas. I can still see them in their pyjamas.
They're blue and white,
horrifically, yeah, quite horrifically. It reminds me of the boy in the striped pyjamas, and then makes me think of Auschwitz, and makes me think then of other things in life that are not related to anthropomorphic bananas named B1 and B2. But it was an Australian television show. And Australia now have what I would call the best children's TV show of all time. And it's a show called Bluey. I don't know if anyone's heard of Bluey, but it's an anthropomorphic Australian TV show that follows a family of dogs called the Healers. Bluey and Bingo and Mum and Dad, or Chili and Bandit, as Mum and Dad are called, is the best kids TV show ever. There's so much adult humor in it. There's so many double entendres, and there's just really wholesome episodes that watching it as a mum that has two young kids, it's very emotive, and I often find myself crying my eyes out to episodes of Bluey. So Bluey is not a show I watched as a kid. It's a show I watch now, but I enjoy it equally as much as I would have done if I watched it as a kid from a child's perspective. So honorary mention to Bluey, best kids show ever. Next on my list is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 87 to 96, an animated series featuring four Ninja Turtles who are trained by their rat sensei in the art of ninjutsu and battle evil in the sewers of New York City. So here is the theme tune to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Heroes in a half shell, turtle power.
So I loved Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I did enjoy the films that they made recently, the live action ones, but I think it was because of the nostalgia of it. I don't think I would have enjoyed them as much if I hadn't watched the kids' show as a child. You had all the figurines, so many things you could buy that were related to the franchise, t-shirts, shoes, anything you can think of. And I play a game show, a video game now, most nights. If me and Lee have some time to ourselves, we'll play a game together called Smite. And Smite is what the cool kids call a MOBA. A MOBA is the multiplayer online battle arena, which is what League of Legends is, to put it in what more layman's terms. I think League of Legends is such a popular game that more people have heard of that than Smite. But in Smite, you can play as different gods and goddesses across different pantheons. So it's really cool if you have an interest in anything to do with Greek mythology, Roman mythology, Aztec gods, Mayan gods. And you can play as all of these different gods in different roles with an objective of trying to take your opponent's objectives before they take yours in a team of five. So there's a map. You have one half, the enemy has one half, and you have to try and get advantage over their half without letting them have advantage over your half. So it's really strategy based. It's really cool. Every single character that you can play in the game, their abilities are based on the lore of that god. So if you have a particular interest in certain gods, it can be really interesting to play them. Anyway, the whole long roundabout of that story is that they introduced Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles skins into the games with their voice packs from the original actors. So there are some gods that you can play wearing Mutant Ninja Turtle skins, and it's really cool. One of them has a skateboard. I really, really enjoyed that that crossover. I think it's because Smite has a contract or an affiliation with Nickelodeon. So we've also had some crossover skins from different Nickelodeon shows as well, but the the TMNT skins were my favorites. I really enjoyed those. So yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
So many turtle toys growing up. It was my brother's favorite show. I've got the DVD box set and in the turtle van. It's awesome.
I didn't doubt that Sean would have some type of memorabilia to do with that particular show.
And of course, episode 53 of this show, we had the in-depth TMNT collector, Phil Russell. So he went into like all the lore and where it came from and how it started. So, yeah, I mean, it's just always been there. It's an amazing show.
And that is so cool.
One of the actors who played in inside the turtle skin is actually now playing Jack Reacher.
The big Jack Reacher?
The big Jack Reacher.
Not the little one.
Not the little one, no. Not the little one. No,
we don't talk about the little one. Yeah, we don't talk about the little one. So my next episode... Oh, no, not my next episode. My next show is 1998 to 2005. The Powerpuff Girls, an animated series about three super-powered sisters, Blossom, Bottles, and Bubbles and Buttercup, who are created by a scientist and frequently save the world from villains. I adored the Powerpuff Girls. They had one parent and he did the best he could. They all had their different personalities, just like the Ninja Turtles do. All three of them were completely different. You had the tomboy, you had the headstrong, smart, smart girl, and then you had the really, really girly girl. I absolutely loved the Powerpuff Girls. And closely linked to that, was someone going to say
Mojo Jojo?
Yeah, Mojo Jojo. Mojo Jojo. Mojo Jojo. He was the villain of the show, and he was a really good enemy. I really enjoyed Mojo Jojo, probably a lot more than I enjoyed villains in, Shredder, for example. I think I enjoyed Mojo Jojo. He was quite, at times, a sympathetic villain in the Powerpuff Girls, which you'd expect because it's all sparkles and glitter and flowers and it's great. And similarly, to kind of bring the the teenage version of the Powerpuff Girls was 2001 to 2014. Totally Spies, an animated series featuring three teenage girls from Beverly Hills who work as secret agents, balancing their spy missions with everyday teenage issues. I watched this as like a preteen and I was like, I so totally relate to the Totally Spies. And they had the same personality quirks as the Powerpuff Girls. So it was kind of like watching the Powerpuff Girls go from being primary school girls to high school girls. And I really enjoyed the Totally Spies. Then my next one is 96 to 2006, Blue's Clues, an interactive children's television series that follows the host and an animated dog named Blue as they solve various puzzles. Blue's Clues. I loved Blue's Clues so much. I was really excited when they started remaking Blue's Clues, even though it was a new host. So they had American Blue's Clues and they had English Blue's Clues. English Blue's Clues was hosted by a pure Scouser. American Blue's Clues now, my kids watch and they really enjoy it, but they have all of the same kind of setup that they have in the original's Blue's Clues. So you'll be like, we found a clue. The same armchair, the same notepad, the same blue crayon, and the same dog, Blue. Blue does have a friend. I can't remember what her name is, but she's pink. I only found out, though, watching it with my kids now, that Blue is actually a girl. I always thought that Blue was a boy. It's probably the stereotypical gender colorizing of things. But yeah, Blue was a girl dog, which really surprised me. Dan's nodding like that. He's always known.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Yes. No. I remember watching Blue's Clues because of my nephew, who was right to see the sort of remakes and everything as it was coming in. And then obviously my kids have gone through with Blue's Clues as well. So yeah, wonderful time.
Just loved it. They had like salt and pepper, which were the two shakers, and they they had the stuff with the post. We just found a letter. We just found a letter. So yeah, Blue's Clues was great when I was growing up. 2006 to today, based on the book series by Francesca Simon, this animated show follows the adventures and mischievous antics of Horrid Henry, a self-proclaimed horrid boy. Horrid Henry, little shit. I really enjoyed watching Horrid Henry because it's like
That's
he
the
could live
remake.
out
The
he could live out
Netflix
all of
version.
the he yeah he was horrid. They did make a film as well at one point, a live action film of Horrid Henry, but he could just do all of the things that we wanted to do as kids but weren't allowed to do because they were horrid. Playing pranks on people, getting into trouble, not doing his homework, like all of the things that we just wanted to do. We just lived vicariously through Horrid Henry. So that was another one. And then a one from me being a bit younger, which has a really recognizable theme tune for me. If I sang this to somebody else in my kind of age bracket, they would just immediately start singing along. To 64 Zoo Lane, an animated children's series about a girl named Lucy who lives next to a zoo and every night is told a story by the animals. So here is my last theme tune, and it's 64 Zoo Lane.
64, 64, 64 Zoo Lane. 64, 64, 64 Zoo Lane.
Hello, I'm Lucy. I live at 64 Zoo Lane. And I have some very special neighbors. Look!
There's one with a hump, and one who can jump, and one who is, well, a little bit plump.
64, 64, 64 Zoo Lane.
Some like it hot, and some like it chilly, and some like it both ways, and that's a bit silly.
64, 64, 64 Zoo Lane.
Some are friendly, some are scary, but one thing is sure, not one is ordinary.
64, 64,
some are spotty, some are striking, and prickly and woolly and furry and slimy. Some are quite big and some are very small. And the last one's Georgina, who's incredibly tall.
64, 64, 64, 64, 64, 64, 64.
Bedtime, Lucy.
Ah, yes, I
So
remember it
that
well.
was 64 Zoo Lane. How do you remember that, Paul?
Again, I think it was when our kids, my missus used to like this as well. It was, really, really good sort of wholesome entertainment. And I think she used to climb out the bedroom window and slide down the giraffe's neck or something, from memory.
Yeah, that's right. That's
Yeah.
right. She did. The one that's really, really tall.
Yep, Georgina the giraffe. There's an imaginative name. But yeah,
I love
it was really good.
64 Zoo
Yeah.
Lane. Really distinctive theme tune. And sometimes you would just start singing it in school and other people would just start singing along with it.
Well, yeah, I think
So it's.
you're missing out on Blue Cow as well. Blue Cow was amazing.
I don't remember that one.
Was around the time of the Teletubbies. Me and my wife really got into that.
It's funny when me and Leah are often like trying to get the kids to watch like Bluey, for example, shows that we really want to watch with the kids. Although recently my son has really gotten into Monsters Inc. and Monsters University, and I love those films, so that's really cool. And we had our first cinema experience during the half term last week, where I took both of the kids to watch their first film at the cinema. And my 4-year-old sat there and watched the whole film with his popcorn and his drink, and it was so cute. Whilst I chased my 2-year-old round the screen trying to get her to be quiet. she was just kicking me and shouting, and I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't even just say, right, we're going home, because my son was sitting there so nicely watching the film. So yeah, we've been practicing watching films all the way through, and he's getting so good at it. And now he'll pick his own films. So we've been watching Mulan, and nice. The Emperor's New Groove, and Ice Age. So yeah, there's some bangers going on in our house at the moment. But I've only got three left. The next one on my list is Pinky and the Brain, 1995-98, an animated series about two genetically enhanced lab mice, Pinky and Brain, who concoct schemes to take over the world. And the next one is Spot the Dog, right. 1986-2000, based on the books by Eric Hill. This animated series follows the adventures of Spot, a young puppy. And just the other day, one of my kids was gifted a musical book based on Spot the Dog. So that must still be going. People must still love reading Eric Hill's books on Spot the Dog. And last but not least, from the 1950s till present, known as the World Wrestling Entertainment, it features professional wrestling with storylines, character development, and choreographed matches. WWF turned E. Circa sometime in the early 2000s, I imagine, because I remember it happening and there was an outrage. I watched WWE every week. I was hugely invested in the Undertaker storyline when he resurrected and Rey Mysterio took his mask off. And that was like absolutely not something that like Lucha Libre wrestlers did. And then at one point Kane took his mask off. That was wild. And Kane and the Undertaker turned out to be brothers. There was just so much hype, so much stuff happening when I was growing up as a kid with WWE. And so that concludes my 42-point list of shows that I watched throughout my childhood between the 1990s and the 2000s. Before I switched to video games and movies. So thank you so much for listening. And I'm sorry, Sean, that you only knew a few.
I knew more than half. Maybe not quite half, but a good amount.
No, it's a good list. That's a good list. I'm surprised that I knew a few there as well. Yeah, yeah. A bit of an insight into your childhood. And adulthood as well, if you're still watching some of them now.
Yeah, it surprises me just how many of them are still on the telly or reprised for today's generation. And it's always a nice nostalgic trip down memory lane whenever one of the kids says, let's watch Blue's Clues or let's watch Scooby-Doo or one of those. So, yeah. That's my list. And I hope that it was interesting or entertaining and a few little theme tunes in there that you don't have to edit in post production, Paul.
Yeah, that's a big help. That certainly is. So yeah, my biggest take from this is that I need to go and watch SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes, you do. 100%.
Please just watch the episodes with David Joe, or at least the Halloween episode where SpongeBob decides to dress up for Halloween and he wants to be really scary, but he's not quite ghost shaped, so he needs to be ghost shaped. Just watch that one episode because I love that one so much. So our special is gone and the grease in the box is cold, and we hope you are full to the brim. So join us for more slices of life in the next special delivery of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
Yay. So the next episode is Paul watches SpongeBob. Yeah, that's the. We'll do a live cast. We can now that we know how to share the sound and everything, it'd be great.
Sean's like, I'm busy that day. Sorry.
Yeah, he's washing his hair that day.
Well, he can be the balance, you know, he's pulling it apart. We're loving it. It's, you know.
No, it's a good show. It's just SpongeBob is annoying as hell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, SpongeBob is. He is.
we've been your deliverers today. Please leave a tip at the door by subscribing for future deliveries, rate and review our service, and we hope you come back for more helpings next time. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and TikTok by searching for the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. If you'd like to send us an MP3 file, you can email us on cosmicpizzapodcast@gmail.com, and we'll catch you on the next episode of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.